The Gabcast, a podcast about bellgab.com. Visit ufoship.com for live streaming and chat.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
It's the Gabcast. It's a podcast about bellgab.com featuring new theme song music.
How about that?
How about that? Yeah, a buddy of mine made this a while back, and I heard it the other night, and I thought, man, that is like perfect intro music for some sort of a talk show, I guess, or whatever.
If so I only thought, you had a podcast you could play that on.
I know. If only there was some way for other people to hear it, I think it would just be wonderful. Anyway, if you want to be on the show tonight, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST. I'm MV. The Mud King is here. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, how are you?
Curtis is the Mud King. I don't mean to confuse. Jasmunda?
Hey, how are you?
Redacted?
How's it going?
Listen how wonderful she sounds. She got a new microphone. She's just got everything lined out over there finally. All she had to do was go out and spend $30. That's all it took.
This is designed to make her money.
Look at all that audio quality we squeezed out of $30. Was it $30 for your headset?
$32.08.
Oh, well, yeah, that pushed it over the edge, the extra couple of bucks.
Yeah, I thought, Michael, you said you're going to pay the tax on that.
I don't pay anything for anybody. I mean, you know, other people were like, the phone number we're using right now to take calls on, I didn't even pay for that. So I really am just not a very nice man.
I like your operation.
Well, I mean, like the number we use now, Eddie Dean paid for that number, and we're still on it because the subscription just simply hasn't run out yet. But I need to throw him some cash and pay him back for that. We got a caller. Let's go ahead and take this. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. Hello, caller. Hi, you're there. Hello. Hello, hello. Okay, guess not. If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST. Let me make sure that something's not screwed up that would be causing that caller not to be it. Well, let's try him again. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. You are on the air.
Well, I'm a virgin when it comes to this sort of thing.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, it sounds like you have a like an air compressor nozzle blowing into the phone as you speak.
It's just me. I'm so excited.
It could be the worst sounding phone I've ever heard.
It's a $30 headset.
Abel would be disgraced.
Are you calling on the cell phone from 1993?
Skype, Logitech.
Really? Well, it's a pleasure to have you calling in. And who are you, and where are you calling from?
Andrew from New York, and I'm wondering what you guys are doing there. I mean, like, old fan of Bell Gab and currently addicted to John B. So what is up?
You mean like, what do you mean by what are we doing? Like, is that in the vein of like, hey, how's it going? Or is it?
Looking for information on what?
Man, you're going to have to move that headset about 10 feet away from your mic, from your mouth.
What is Bell Gab? How's that?
Okay. Well, Bell Gab started out back a long time ago. I bought this domain name because I thought George Norrie sucked. So I bought georgenorrisucks.com, and I just sort of held on to it for a really long time. If you typed georgenorrisucks.com into your web browser, it simply went to a GoDaddy page, I think. For a long time, that was the case. And there was this weirdo that I knew who suggested that, and I don't say he was a weirdo because he suggested this. He was just a weird guy. And he suggested that I use that domain name to set up a forum, and I thought, okay, why not? It's virtually free to do, and I'm not doing anything with it, so I did. And there was a stream that was playing Art Bell shows 24/7, right. And the forum was plugged routinely on that stream, and so that just right out of the gate kind of got a nice flood of people coming in to use the forum that otherwise would have had no idea that the place existed. And so things just went from there. That's what, and it, so it started out as George Norrie Sucks. And, you know, the place was very contentious in those days. People just like trolling one another. Not to say that that's necessarily better today than it was then. A lot of people would say it's worse. But people were really mean on that forum back then. And
oh, but there was a bunch of smart people too.
Yeah, and there still are. I mean, yeah. I don't want people to interpret what you just said to imply that they've all left. So if you're using Bellgab today, or if you're hearing our voice now, you're probably, you're just not on par with the people. That. But it was a very contentious atmosphere, and so, and I got sick of running, and I shut the whole thing down for like 3 months. And then I reformed it as Coast Gab, thinking, okay, well, maybe if it's not named something that just screams confrontation, maybe people will be a little easier to manage. And it seemed better, I guess. It seemed to have some effect. And then when it was revealed in summer 2013 that Art Bell was going to be coming back to radio, I decided to rename the forum Bellgab. And that's really the history of the whole thing. There's nothing else you really need to know.
I think the important thing, it was Andrew, right?
Right.
What is Bellgab to you?
I just stumbled across it today, figuring I would get news on Art and JB.
So you're totally new to all of this.
That's right.
So, what was your first impression after?
Yeah.
First impression? I got 3 minutes of impression.
That's perfect. You're a target audience. I love hearing this. What's the first thread you clicked on? Or what's the search term you used that helped you get to Bellgab, and what did you read first there?
Oh, I don't know. It was, I was prospecting via Google, and I just stumbled on, I don't quite remember how. Let's see, whose website did I stumble across that the...
Were you searching for things related to Coast AM and George Norrie?
You said Art.
Oh, Art, no.
Probably looking for what Art is doing. And I think I saw a fellow standing next to Art in a baseball cap and big glasses and says something about...
That's not really Art, by the way.
Ah, good.
Yeah, good. Thank God. You know, as they say, never meet your heroes. But in this case, no, that's not Art. I thought everyone would know that's not Art. So I just put the photo there as a joke. But really apparently a lot of people, I may have to put a disclaimer under it. I don't want people thinking that's Art.
Well, we haven't seen him such a long time.
Yeah, true. And a lot of people probably don't have a clue. I'll bet you a quarter of Art's audience has no idea what he looks like. What do you guys think? You think that's probably?
Right. He always said he has a face made for radio.
I don't think he's a bad looking guy.
I don't think so.
Sounds better looking than he is.
Well, that's true, but who doesn't?
All radio people.
I always thought he looked like he was of Native American extraction.
I think if you're a fan of Art Bell and you've seen him and you're familiar with the artbell.com website, you would have seen him multiple times over the years because he always used to post webcam photos. He was, sort of a pioneer in using the web and radio at the same time. So I'm sure everyone who's a fan of him would know what he looks like.
Well, I'm talking about the old lady audience, people like my mom. My mom knows who Art Bell is, but
are you saying females with cats that listen to Art Bell?
Yeah, who don't know how to use computers.
Mm-hmm. I think then they get artbell.com CD and they use the internets.
I'm looking at the Twitters here, people sending me messages. So, Andrew, it's really nice to meet you. It's always nice to bump into new blood. And I hope that you'll post frequently.
God willing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Inshallah, as the terrorists among us say. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, what's happening, Michael? It's Mr. Fidget calling in.
Hey, how's it going,
man?
It's the Fidget.
Hey, I'm hanging.
Wait a minute. I forgot I'm supposed to hate you. Get off the phone. No, I'm just kidding.
Heck. You should save your hate for politicians.
You're not a member. You're not a member of this clique. Get off the phone.
How's it going, man? Long time. I was just thinking about you the other day, wondering what's become of you.
Well, I'm, you know, pressing on, just trying to figure out how to be a individual in a cookie cutter world, and it's always an adventure.
That really does aptly describe you. You are an individual in a cookie cutter world. There aren't a lot of people like you. I mean, I can tell that you're rather unique. Whether people agree with your philosophies or your approaches to things or not, you're very different. That's for sure.
You know, a question I have.
Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. Let's call this the Ask Mr. Fidget segment. Go for it.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Okay. So, you know, Art's going to be back soon on the air.
I do.
Do you plan to call in?
Well, I saw the speculation that Albrecht had there in the who's going to be the first caller thread. I don't have plans to call in at this point. I've tried to communicate with Art, and I still kind of get the deafening wall of silence from him and Nori both. So
he doesn't respond to anybody.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, that's okay. But in my particular case, you know, I feel like there's this thing I'm trying to clear up, and he's really the only person that can clear it up. You know, just by stating his piece, whether he thinks I should burn in hell or
okay, but let's summarize. Let me summarize. You were a guest as a result of Open Lines on Art's show back in the 1990s, where you discussed your making of little devices called fidgets, which are these little almost meditative things that you can twirl around in your fingers and just sort of toy around with, almost like one of those little squeezy balls that you relieve stress with, sort of, but they're made out of bicycle chains. You were on Art's show talking about these, and you agreed to send these out to people who sent you something on the order of like $5 each or something like that. And chaos broke out in your life. Long story short, chaos and pandemonium broke out, and you weren't able to fulfill these little $5 orders for whatever reason. And so you would like the opportunity to explain to Art why that happened.
Exactly, and that's kind of what I did in the thread, although, you know, at some psychological peril.
Okay, now let me stop you right there. You mentioned the thread. That's your problem. You do not possess the ability to explain, like the way I just explained your situation, you would never explain it to somebody that way. You don't have the ability to be concise, and that's not a critique of you or a criticism. I mean, it's just that we all communicate differently, and I think if you call in to Art's show in order to explain that, I'm not sure you'll be on the phone long enough to explain it.
Well, Michael, to defend Mr. Fidget here, right now the man we're talking to sounds different in terms of what life has done with him in the last few months from the first time I spoke with him, when it was a stream of conscience conversation that was hard to keep up with. I think maybe now this more laid back, in tune with the universe, maybe Mr. Fidget could handle that conversation and state his story. Prove me right.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, now you're making it sound like I'm sitting here calling Mr. Fidget a piece of shit or something.
No.
I think it's important to acknowledge that. Yeah. It's just important to acknowledge that everyone grows.
Indeed, and the thing about, you know, much to the chagrin of Onan, perhaps, you know, that thread acted as a form of catharsis for me by allowing me to at least put my position and particularly the documentation that went with it online for people to peruse. It's one thing that's in my briefcase and frustrating me. I'm trying to get a meeting for people to look at it. It's a whole other matter when it's out there and I know that. For instance, yesterday I had somebody hit me up on Facebook asking about fidgets and this, that, and the other. And I said, look, I'm done talking about fidgets. If you have any questions, they're all answered in that thread. And it's not that I didn't want to interact with them, but it's like, why repeat this long, drawn-out, difficult...
Were they asking how to buy one?
Yeah, I get a lot of that.
Well, why are you opposed to that? You sound like you're disgusted at the notion that somebody... They're great. You sent me 6 of them. And by the way, you still need to tell me what email address to send some PayPal money to.
Oh yeah, the one registered with my account's fine. I used my actual email when I registered. I put a response up in the Mr. Fidget thread.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to, you know, bring the Gabcast back around to fidgets and everything. More than anything, I just
we don't care. You're more than welcome to call in. We'll talk about whatever we want to talk about.
You are a part of the forum now, so you're the financial antithesis to Falky, so it's fine.
Well, one thing this isn't designed to make you money. I guess, I haven't done much asking for anything. And it really, that's kind of been about, even when I was on our show, and, in a way I'm defending myself here, but I didn't call up with an intent to make a sale offer on that show under any circumstances. And the only reason that it happened was because someone who showed up at the payphone while I was with Art, he actually spoke to Art on the show. I think his name was Toby, or I forget now. It's in the show. He convinced me during one of the breaks to make the sale offer. You'd be crazy not to. And I did it at the end of the third hour. You know, you just, if you're going to try to promote something, you do it every hour on the hour or whatever. It was a complete knee jerk mistake, really. Had I been looking at it wide eyed and forward thinking, I wouldn't have done it. I would have said, I don't have the infrastructure for that. But I was caught up with the excitement, and I just kind of went with the flow, and it ended up that flow went over a bridge.
Well, I have never detected from you that you come across as the type of person who would deliberately defraud people. I think you just really weren't set up in numerous different ways to shoulder that burden when it came.
I think to quote MV from a prior Gabcast, that would be, I'm a shitty businessman.
Yeah. I mean, there's no shame in that. Not everybody's good at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, some of us are better at certain aspects of things than others. But there is a question that's been posed in the chat room that I think is relevant, and that is, what do you have against opening up a store on eBay?
Well, I have an eBay account in good standing. I've had it for, 7 or 8 years. My difficulty has just really been, one of housing. I've lived in my body for a long time. The last time I had a permanent address where I could receive mail under my own name was more than a decade ago. So pretty much I end up getting mail through friends or this, that, and the other. And, I've relatively been a poor person in my life. But I don't consider my wealth to be anything to do with money. It's an experiential thing, and I'm able to
Do you have friends?
I do have some friends, thank goodness, or I wouldn't be able to make it.
Do you have friends who will allow you to stay in their home?
Oh yeah, private property. I'm.
Well, here's what you need to do. You've got that's 90% of the battle right there. You just get some sort of a roof over your head, and some way to take showers at reasonable intervals, and from there. You just tell these people that you're living with, in case you're afraid that maybe you're starting to wear out your welcome or whatever, you just say, hey, look, I want to let you in on this plan I've got. I did this thing back in the 90s. A lot of people know about me. I want to start a real business with this. Help me out. Give me some space that I can work with. Is there a shed out in the back that I can set all this up in? And put it together. I mean, it's nothing to sell this stuff on eBay. You've got a zillion people just starting out right out of the gate, boom, on Belgab that are going to buy these from you. And I can attest to the fact that the quality is remarkable. They're wonderfully put together, and they are fun. I catch myself all the time holding them in my hands and thinking about things. No, it's just messing with them,
It's like the oldest mystic thing in the world, as far as I know, is the mind-hand connection. And a lot of big spiritualities have been wrapped around this, whether it's the rosary or the prayer beads or what have you. There's something to this mind-hand connection. And at this point, I just look at it like sharing, and literally my intent is to just put plans and instructions on how people can make them themselves. Since last time I called in, I kind of had a shot to the keel of my boat that sinks it as far as dealing with the manufacturer, because back in the 90s, when I was on Art's show, the manufacturer would pre-cut the chain for me, so I was able to not have that element of labor. But now, it's 10 years later or 20 years later, and they won't cut the chain for me. So it creates a lot bigger logistical and labor oriented problem to make them. So I'm really looking at it.
So there's not there's not like a practical hand tool that can be used to cut the chains and put everything together.
There is. But my biggest order ever was for 20,000 fidgets back in 1995, well before I was on Art Bell. And that took 6 guys helping me around the pool table, 2 weeks to make 20,000 fidgets. And, I learned from that I'm not really the hiring, firing, scheduling, and infrastructure logistics guy. I'm a creative person. And
what happened? The people you were working with, were they dicking you around?
No. I mean, we accomplished the job. It was a 20,000 piece order. We got it done in 3 weeks.
And you sent them off?
I delivered the fidget. Well, it was a bulk order. It was back during the Pogs craze. When they were selling those Pog Slammers, so I made a chain Pog Slammer. So it wasn't technically a fidget in the technical sense.
So can I ask how much what was the bill for 20,000 of those?
It's $14,000, 70 cents each. They at first they ordered 1,000. I made 1,000, and then as soon as they got those, they called me back and ordered 10,000. I made those, and then they ordered 20,000. Those are really like 31,000 total. As an artist, working now on creative expression and other mediums, and I've inherited some interesting material from my dad, who passed away in 2005. I've just kind of moved on to other things, and I figure, well, it's giving Jason Burns, the knockoff fidget guy at fidgetland.com, it's giving him a living for his kids. Yeah, I mean, it's a fidget. It's better than no fidget. If people get a fidget and they have something to do, and I was able to contribute at least in the design element, I consider that a win.
I consider that a loss. I want everyone to have real fidgets. Enough of this counterfeit silliness.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Curtis.
Mr. Fidget, you talked about the spiritual connection and the hand coordination and all of that you think maybe goes to a higher level. Do you think the person who makes the fidget has any effect on how it is? I mean, how powerful or whatever it might be, whatever you've assigned to a fidget?
Oh, certainly not. I think that everybody's, we're all like some sort of universal mechanism, right? As a human being. And there's just these inherent elements that we have as far as eye-hand coordination and dexterity. Having fidgeted for 20 years now, my two hands are balanced. So I can do the same thing in one hand as with the other. And it really is amazing if you see it, And I mean, I put up some videos, a couple here and there, and I want to do more.
So if I fidget with my left hand, I'm going to be fully ambidextrous.
I think that you'll be able to move towards ambidexterity. Yeah, I mean, it took me, 20 years to feel like I've completely mastered it.
Even pick up paper with my left. Oh, look, there it goes. It's all over the floor. Son of a bitch.
This might sound like a conspiratorial theory, but it seems to me that all of us could use both of our hands, but the system trains us through this indoctrination of you're right or left-handed. So since that's what we, I wouldn't say familiarity breeds contempt, but in times of stress, we revert to habit. So you're always having this habit of using that hand. So that's what you use. I think that everybody could, like Montessori exercises, you can be ambidextrous, but you have to exercise it.
Listen, Mr. Fidget, we have to move on, but I want to say this. I want to say this to you. If you will pursue manufacturing fidgets once again, I will do everything I can to send traffic your way, to send business your way. I mean, between BellGab and this podcast and all of that, I mean, and if you want to atone for or at least the perceived sins of your past, I think there'd be no better way to do that than to get back into business and do it right with round two.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the encouragement. I'll certainly put that into my consideration basket and let it filter around. And
you're not going to do anything I just said, are you?
I might.
Okay.
The thing is it's a logistical thing: product manufacturing, liability insurance, packaging, shipping. It's never just as simple as make a fidget and send a fidget.
Yeah, Mr. Fidget, I have to say something here. I have to come in and say something. Do you know how many people would love to have their own unique business? And that's what you have here, is your own business, making something that you love, that you invented. How many people have that just in their back pocket like you do? Not very many.
Thanks. If I could get the meeting with Bank of America that Disney had that saved his corporation, I would probably be able to pull it off. But the reality is that the money is filtered up into certain specific hands that hold on to it. And
No. You're making it so much more complicated than it actually is. You make your fidgets because you have the talent for that. And the people will buy them. They want to buy them. I'm sure you have orders pending right now. I mean, Michael's trying to send you money and
Mr. Fidget, have you ever
so frustrated?
Mr. Fidget, have you ever considered setting up a stall along Venice Beach and selling them there? You've got to start small, sell a few there, make some money.
I did it for hundreds and hundreds of days.
Hey, can I say something real quick? Yes. You people in the chat room who have a problem with how much time we're spending to talk about whatever we're talking about, fuck yourselves, okay? Get the fuck out of the chat room and stop listening to this show, because I don't have any fucking time for your little complaints and your whining. If you don't like what we're talking about, then this isn't the show for you, so fuck off. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Fidget.
Thanks, guys. What I was saying prior was that the I forgot what I was saying. I derailed. I was listening to MV and I was like, "Damn, he just gave it to him with both barrels in the chat room."
Well, fuck that! I hate people that do that shit. I mean, what does that add to the show? I mean, if these people are so upset about what they're listening to, fuck them. They can call up and talk about something that's more interesting. Until then, shut the fuck up. Go ahead.
Yeah, my hope with the fidgets in the final analysis is just that they become a standard icon of cyclical process, you know, that it gives people an example of a process that is consistent and works. And I mean, I've talked to people with a doctorate in neuroscience and all sorts of teachers and people with, you know, specialties in curriculum development and physics. But all of these things require the PhD. You know, they require the doctors and they require the letterhead and going back and forth. And that's far removed. Now I remember what I was going to say. So I did sell fidgets for hundreds and hundreds of days at the beach in Venice. And then one day I was cutting some mat board to make a fidget sign, and I put the fidget sign out there. But before I put the sign out, I had this practice mat board, and I put that on the ground. And then people would ask me about this practice board. So what happened was I used to make like $30 a day, maybe selling some fidgets, but I had to talk all day long to make that $30. So then I just got a huge stack of mat board and I just cut random abstract patterns into it, and I kept cutting, and then I just threw those on the ground and I cut the fidgets in my pocket. And when people would walk up, they'd say, "Oh, well, that's cool. What do you want for that?" And I'd say, "I don't know. What sounds good to you?" And it always gave me more than I ever got for a fidget. So in essence, it was the point of diminishing returns that made me step away from the fidgets. They were sharp in the sense that because it's metal, they were heavy, they had mass, they get greasy, and then I have to explain them to everybody. So I'm going through this learning curve with every single person I talk to of trying to justify the value of what I was doing. Once I started doing the math board, people inherently created a value in essence larger, and so I just quit. I just went with the path of least resistance and went with cutting mat board. I'd like to make the fidgets work, and I think that they will work, but it just requires a business to, I mean, basically a conglomerate of some sort to recognize the value.
No. It requires regular shipping. I think if you just focused on shipping them out to people when they order them, that would be the best thing for you to focus on to make this an icon like you're thinking of.
Or sell them on eBay, and then you don't have to speak to anyone.
Mr. Fidget, I own a business that feeds my entire family and pays all of our bills plus whatever. And I didn't borrow $1 to start any of this.
And it's called Van Deven Enterprises.
I have a skill, and I have employed that skill in order to make money. I don't see why all of this complexity has to be injected into what it is you're talking about doing. But
that may be my own fault, you know, and it may be the fact that 20 years of experience with this has given me this soup to try to get through. I appreciate the time, and go ahead.
I believe Jasmunda has a question for you.
Yeah, I'm ready. I believe you, Mr. Fidget, you said you have a foolproof method of calling into Art Show and getting on every time. Do you want to share that? And are you going to try and call in?
if you'd like to hear it. Well, I've sent Art some communication privately. If he gets back to me and we do communicate, you know, I'm not adverse to trying to solve the problem. But as far as the method that I used, what I did was I used two payphones and I dialed simultaneously on the two phones, and I was using actual old AT&T phones that buffer the number. And then when you hit the last number, it auto dials it out. So it goes like real quick. So what I would do is I would calculate the 10-second on-air delay, which probably has changed now.
But I think it was 7 seconds at that time, so I think maybe you might have been flawed there.
Whatever it was, I was able to measure it exactly, because when he would hang up on the caller on that line, you could tell when he would be like, thank you, you know, and you could tell when he hung up. I would count with a clock, with a stopwatch from that time. I knew that 2 minutes and 13 seconds from then, the line would be open. So at 2 minutes and 13 seconds, I would be calling in with two lines simultaneously from the two payphones, and then I would get the ring. And then I just kept the ring by calling back within 2 minutes and 13 seconds on the other phone and then hanging up right before my second dial went in. So I basically captivated the ring. So I had it, that was how I did it. And that's the story. thanks for having me on, guys, and treating me in what felt like a nice and civil manner.
Fuck you. Get out of here. Okay, see you, dude. All right, man. That's Mr. Fidget. Hi, we got another call. Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, you promised if that someone else called, you stop talking about fidgets. I'm calling and begging you to talk anything else but fidgets.
Okay, your phone is not working correctly. You have a horrible signal, I think.
I'll call back later then.
Yeah, call again. I think he was calling to say we should stop talking to Mr. Fidget. I don't know. I mean, I say? I mean, we're just going to talk about whatever we end up talking about. And if that doesn't meet everybody's approval, I'm sorry. It's the nature of this. You know, it can't be that dynamic all the time.
I think that was White Crow. Hi, guys. This is White Crow.
He was like, so anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about. Quite this work. Line sounds great.
Anyway.
I completely understand what you're saying.
And he was on hold for like 7 or 8 minutes just to deliver that.
It was worth it.
Yeah, I miss the old days when people had to pay for cell phone minutes. It really affected the quality of the calls, I think. Anyway, this is the Gabcast. If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST. One thing that has always puzzled me is the fact that George Norrie seems to assume that if you don't like his show, that means you have no life. That means that you live in your mother's basement and you don't have any friends. You don't have a job. You don't shave regularly. You're wearing a stained up white tank top, a wife beater. You've got little chicken remnants stuck in your teeth. You haven't been in direct sunlight in 6 months. And you're on a sex offender registry somewhere. I mean, that's apparently the image that Norrie and his yes men that he surrounds himself with have painted in their own minds of people who don't, in fact, enjoy his show. Here are George Norrie's comments from January 30th.
A lot of negativity out there.
Yep.
Most of them are in little chat rooms because they all closet together because they have nothing else.
We all closet together. Well, I cupboard in spring and I closet in the fall, you know? I always take Jasmunda to closet with me.
I admit to being closeted.
I've always enjoyed closeting with Jasmunda. That sounds like something you take your family to do when you're, like, well-to-do. Oh, well, we've stopped closeting in Maine. You know, we do all our closeting in California now. It's much
better. A lot of negativity out there.
Yep.
Most of them are in little chat rooms because they all closet together. Because they have nothing else to do.
They have nothing else to do. I mean,
is he talking about us?
Well, who else could he be talking about?
I have a sneaking suspicion that that's who it's directed to.
What other online community exists that has as much presence as we do? There's nobody. It's not the Fantastic Forum. It's not NorrieSucks.com, which I don't even think exists anymore. It's not the guy from Pittsburgh.boardhost.com. What could it be? It's not Facebook, because those comments all get torn down anyway off of the Coast Facebook page. So who in the hell could it be? I don't know. But this assertion that we don't have it here, let me go back to that.
Because they all closet together, because they have nothing else to do.
We have nothing else to do. So I don't run a business. I don't have a wife and child. I don't, I've got nothing else to do.
We're just retarded with our hate from George that we do nothing else. That's it.
This is like, if someone doesn't hate him, listening to him say these things actually could make you hate him.
Well, I still go back. Voice change.
Yeah, I go back to when he called in and talked to us the one time, and he actually sounded pleasant and strung sentences together very successfully.
Successfully.
And, and that is not at all what, I mean, like the tone he took of conciliatory friendship does not mesh at all with that clip you just played.
I mean, why is it a surprise to him that, I mean, this is really the point. He shouldn't at all be surprised that there are people that don't like him. I mean, how is that? Well, how is that shocking? You took over for Art Bell, who had 15 million listeners per week. Yes, there are going to be some people who don't like you. Why is that so surprising? And why is that something to be so butthurt about? He shouldn't. I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, I'm downplaying our role in things, but our role should be downplayed. He shouldn't care what we have to say or what we think.
Well, you have to think if you've been, if you're going to be on any kind of megaphone talking, half the people who hear you aren't going to like what you have to say. And if you can't handle that, then don't pick the megaphone up and start talking. And especially don't start talking about pseudoscience and spirituality and the things that Coast tries to get into. If you can't handle some criticism from that, then you're in the wrong business. Look at all the people who we like to rag on a regular basis who've been guests of ours. These guys have to pick up the phone every day and continue to sell what they sell, knowing that half the population or more, probably way more, think that they're complete idiots, but they're still making money on it, so they go out and talk. You have to be able to handle the criticism.
Isn't there some kind of saying in show business that if half the audience hates you and half the audience likes you, you're doing something right?
Yeah, I would think, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, what prominent media personality is loved by everybody? I can't think of anybody, either in movies or in the news or talk radio.
Well, Tom Cruise was until he married Katie Holmes. He was loved by everybody, wasn't he?
Anyway, moving on. I don't know. Here we go.
Chat rooms, because they all closet together. Because they have.
Curtis, if you and I were to closet together, would you prefer to do it in Florida or maybe Martha's Vineyard? Or
Martha's Vineyard. I think the scenery will be worth it.
It just makes more sense to closet together in Martha's Vineyard, I think.
If we're going
to
closet together.
Like, sounds to me like the type of place where you'd go to closet with your buddy.
Well, can we get a bicycle built for two?
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay.
Nothing else to do. They have no life. Just to be evil and hate. It's one of the downsides of social media. It's so great. It's convenient. It helps you. But man, when those crazy people get together that hate, there's nothing they like. Nothing.
Go ahead, redact it.
I just cannot get over how his voice changed when he went on to this topic from normal George to who is this George? Who is this guy? I'm just fascinated by how he just slipped into this other personality, I guess, that doesn't see the light of day very often. And his voice just changed so much. I mean, listen to him when he says how evil.
Yeah.
He's little taking evil this elves. Very personally.
Camsey in the chat room says MV universally loved. Thank you.
Another idiot person in our chat room.
Who, Camsey?
No. Yes. No.
You don't like Campsie?
I don't know. Will you still closet with me?
Well, I need to know your opinion of Campsie first. I don't know.
My favorite chatter.
No, I think Campsie is I mean, there are a lot of people who hate my ass. There's no doubt about that. I mean,
But you know that George is not one of them because you have helped keep the conversation about him alive.
Hey, Onan's in the chat room, supposedly. I will rephrase that. Someone went to the chat room and typed Onan as their username.
Hey, don't give that idea to people because it's not possible. You can only use a name that is actually attached to you in some way to get into the chat room. Otherwise, it rejects you.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people who hate every one of us.
People get together that hate. There's nothing they like. Nothing. Those are the people don't want to even assume.
Nothing.
Was this on Coast to Coast?
Yeah, it was Friday, the 30th of January.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was an interview outside of Coast. It's amazing that he says these. Can you play the clip where he talks about the people who I think he said crazy, but I'm not sure.
Well,
that I only hate together.
Do you know what the context of this was? Did someone ask him a question about the haters out there, or did he just?
I don't know. It was
talking about this.
It was just a thread started on Belgab by George Goldman, aka C-337 pilot, aka
SR-71.
Thank you, SR-71, aka
Fine Art.
Is that another one?
That was another
one. I'm losing.
But wait, was Fine Art? Was Fine Art one of the names?
I think so.
I thought Fine Art was attached to the Fine Art stream.
I think it was taken from the Fine Art stream anyway.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what part in the audio he talks about that.
It's convenient. It helps you.
But talking about social media.
Those crazy people get together that hate. There's nothing they like. Nothing.
What's the other half of his audience? Are they not crazy? Are we not crazy? Crazy good?
Well, I mean, I just don't know what part of reality he's not plugged into where he thinks that there aren't going to be people out there who dislike him.
I think George needs to call in and answer for this clip. Was he talking about Belgab?
I imagine he was talking about social media in general. I'm sure they get nasty tweets tweeted out to them, and the stuff that's deleted from Facebook, I'm sure, isn't very pleasant.
Yeah.
Well, he was
and half of it's not even art.
He had taken a call from a young lady who had called in on open lines, and she was talking about a bad relationship she was in or something, and asked if maybe her boyfriend was possessed and if George had any tips for her on that. And then he just sort of, you know, had a mudslide into this weird rant. Yeah, that's how it happened.
Really? That's odd.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing. Well, go ahead.
He's right about one thing. Crazy. You call George Norrie for relationship advice because of your possessed boyfriend.
When I look at the George Norrie sucks thread, I see very specific, reasoned, detailed complaints about his performance as the host of that show.
Yeah,
there is some level of crazy there, but it's crazy like funny crazy. It's like crazy for the purpose of getting a laugh out of people. But, I mean, there have been very few times when I saw someone dumping a level of hate on George Norrie that made me say, whoa, that guy's a little unhinged. There have been very few times I've seen that over the years. I mean, most of it's quite reasoned, and it's just opinion. And not everyone's going to like you. And why a nationally syndicated radio host is unaware of the fact or can't accept the fact, can't process the fact that people are not going to like him, how that's the case, I don't know. But I think he's surrounded. I think he is surrounded by people who have convinced him that he's to be adored, whether it's encouraging people to lose weight and then forgetting about the whole thing a month later, I guess, or sending out pennies to the peasants who listen to his radio show to help them out. That was another little program he came up with. Do you guys remember that? He was going to send out money to...
I would love if it was called Pennies for Peasants.
The various destitute members of the Coast Listening family.
Because he's such a nice guy.
I mean, all of this stuff put together, I'm sure that he's convinced himself and the people around him have convinced him that he's only to be loved. I mean, some people just don't like you. And so what?
Well, when he at least feigned that he was going to take criticism to heart. I thought that was good. Like, I have one post on Belgab where I actually defended him for a moment, and I regret it today pretty badly because I made the point that everybody was giving him so much hate, but they wouldn't do the same if Art shows up. Well, that changed after Art left the first serious show. I mean, people started to give him a hard time for sure, so I was wrong there. But I really thought that he was going to make an attempt to see what what he could learn. Clearly it was not. He was feeling threatened by Art and had to come in and make a swipe. But I mean, why not take some criticism and use it? I mean, he could do like Jimmy Fallon does, or no, sorry. Was it Jimmy Fallon or, I can't think of the other guy's name, who does the mean people tweets?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. The guy who used to be on the Man Show.
Continuing.
But man, when those crazy people get together that hate, there's nothing they like. Nothing.
Nothing.
Those are the people you don't want to even associate with in real life. You wonder who they are because...
How can he know that? I mean, my wife likes me. My customers like me. I like me. And I'm going to sell these shower rings, whether you...
If I was to take what he said to heart, I feel like hanging out with you guys, associating, to use his word, with you all here at this website, I feel like I'm going to get murdered.
I don't think there's anyone who meets me and thinks that I'm a psycho. Well, I can't say that. So, I mean, some people might think, I don't know. I mean, like the image George has in his mind of the people that are on Belgab is just so not in sync with reality. I mean, the overwhelming majority of these people are just normal people, I think. I mean, I think I'm relatively normal. I don't know. I bathe. And I brush
only
my teeth.
People, sort of outside your wall that can hear you yelling when you're ranting. Those are the people that are think you're a psychopath.
Well, you know what, Redacted? You bring up an excellent point. I think the people in my building may not like me so much. I don't know. They have heard some odd things walking past this door in the hallway. There's no doubt about that. Because I'm separated from that hallway just by this one door. It's a heavy door, but... The things that have been screamed into this microphone over the years, I guess you could say, from this room. Wow.
Hate? There's nothing they like. Nothing.
Nothing.
Those are the people you don't want to even associate with in real life. You wonder who they are because they all hide behind phony names and things like that. They don't have the guts to just say, hey, this is me.
What's the point there that everybody, I mean, what would you do with the information if you had people's real names?
Right.
I think the point that he's making is that it's when someone's anonymous, it's very easy for them to be hateful and say things that they wouldn't necessarily say face to face.
And I agree on that. I mean, look at the, when things do go nasty on Belgab and the directions conversations go, if people had to actually do that face to face, the entire musings thread, every person who's trolled on Falky there wouldn't happen face to face.
I think that's definitely true, but it's a means of communication. It's a method of communication, and people communicate differently depending on the medium they're using. For instance, yeah, if you're sitting in a car with me, we're probably not going to feel the need for someone to be constantly filling dead air by speaking. But if we're talking on the phone to one another and one of us just stops talking and the other doesn't come in, then it feels awkward. Why? Because of the medium. So I don't really think that's necessarily a commentary so much on the people themselves as it is a commentary on the medium. When you're communicating via the medium of the internet, a comments thread or on a forum, that medium lends to you saying what it is exactly that you're thinking.
Yeah, I think he's using that as a straw man argument because it's right, but the whole thing about being who you are.
Yeah, I think because he's not anonymous and we are, or the haters are anonymous, I think he feels like he's not on a level playing field with them. Whereas if me and someone else on the internet with our pseudonyms go at it, there's no harm. Who gives a shit in the end, you know? It's not my real person. I can say whatever I want to him. He can say whatever I want, you know, whatever he wants to me. But I think George feels like, well, I'm George Norrie. I'm a public figure, but I don't know who these, you know, haters are on the internet. But that's the internet. As you said, that's the medium. So he's just got to suck it up and take it.
George complains about the anonymity, and unscreened caller in the chat room responds, says the man whose first post was under Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah, I want unscreened to call and talk about George showing his true colors on Fantastic Forum. I don't know if I know the story behind that.
I think that he threatened to sue them because someone said that he was paying to have that TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it came down to. If someone knows the story behind that and could call in and tell us what it is exactly that happened, that would be appreciated. Okay, anyway, continuing.
Like that. They don't have the guts to just say, hey, this is me. This is where I live and stuff like that. But we'll do that. Hey, Tommy, I need my screen. Please.
Okay.
What did he just ask Tommy for?
His screen. Hey, Tommy, I need my screen. Bleh.
Tommy boy. I love the comment on Bell Gab. I forget who said it, but talking about the progression of Tom becoming Tommy. Do anyone remember that?
I remember seeing that in passing.
Yeah, that was just an awesome process to think through. That here this man probably had some self-respect, and now he finds himself in the fetal position being called Tommy by somebody who is definitely not his intellectual equal.
As a grown man, and especially if I were as fat as he is, I wouldn't want to be referred to as Tommy when my name is Tom. I don't know. That just seems... And for some reason, it seems worse being fat. I don't know why that makes it seem worse. It just does. I mean...
It just makes me think of Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's the connection my brain's making.
Fat guy in a little suit.
Coat.
Whatever.
Come on, Curtis. If you're gonna do the movie quotes, let's get it together, okay?
Hey, that's my thing.
Incorrectly quoting movies is your thing? That's my...
Yes.
Hey, everybody, here's my thing. Watch. You dirty pheasant.
Okay, if you haven't figured that out at this point, then I'll take pennies for peasants.
If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278. I'm going to go ahead and type that in the chat room just to be sure. 623... 242-2278.
Yeah, we usually have Cat Smile in the chat room, letting everyone know what number to call, and he's not there today, so.
Mm. So Art Bell's been posting on the forum again. The other day he says, "Hi there, so much speculation, good. What are we going to do? What we are going to do should be a blast, in my opinion. Just think about it, 3 hours a night to play with any topic we wish. Lots of open lines and new guests. No restrictions on topics. Very few commercials. The live streaming will be free for both national and, thank goodness, international listeners." And woo-hoo. That's a reference. We all know, of course, since it's going to be on the internet inherently. But he's more specifically making a reference to the problems with Sirius XM. I mean, wasn't that the height of absurdity that the Sirius package wasn't available to people in foreign countries, even for internet streaming? That was a problem?
Yeah.
But that's a rights. That's a rights and a licensing thing.
Yeah. Well, Jazz, do you have an equivalent of Sirius? I assume you do.
We don't have satellite radio, no. No.
Okay.
Well, I understand that it's
not, the market's not big enough here to
Well, I figured there'd be like an international version to compete where Sirius doesn't.
I understand that it's a rights issue. But I mean, like a show like Arts on Sirius XM, that was their content exclusively. You'd think they'd have some mechanism for shows of that nature to be able to be streamed. I can understand like not being able to do music, the 60s channel. Yeah, I can understand that not being it. But but original content, I don't know what the I don't know what the restriction was there.
How big do you think his international audience is, though?
At least one.
At least one, yeah.
I don't know. But it just sucks to have that limitation in place.
Yeah. I mean, over the years, you did hear international calls from all over the world. But I would love to know what his actual international audience is. I can't imagine it would be huge, but I have no idea.
It just sucks to know that limitation's in place. I mean, that's so that's what he's referring to. I mean, I'm sure he's aware that inherent in the internet is the ability for everybody to hear. He says, we will provide incoming phone lines as well as Skype connections. I'm sure some topics, you know what? I don't really like to hear people call in on Skype because it just seems weird to me that they should sound as clear as Art does. It seems to me like it's just my, you know, getting old mind. My aging mind doesn't want things to change. And in my mind, when you're listening to a talk show and somebody calls in, they should sound like they're on a phone. That's just how it seems like it should be to me. I mean, aren't you guys a little weirded out when you hear someone calling in to Art's show, like the 30,000 times Jasmunda called in from Skype?
You mean when he co-hosts?
Yeah. Didn't that just seem weird, or is that just me?
It takes some getting used to hear sort of a clear caller, but that's the way of things going forward, technology.
Well, here's a question. When do you think it's going to replace his complaints about people calling in on cell phones or cordless phones once he has people calling in on Skype with that crystal clear line? What's he going to complain about now? Is it going to be background noise?
Are you using an analog headset, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you using Redacted's old headset?
Yeah. Right.
Art continues, I'm sure some topics will be loved by some and hated by others. It is never possible to please everybody all the time. That is one of the first things any talk show host must learn. Some of my best shows were filled with computer messages in the first hour or so that said things like, dump this jerk and go to open lines. But by the end of the show, people were saying, gee, Art, that was one of your best shows ever. On the other hand, sometimes the jerk had to be dumped for open lines. Many times, some of the best shows came from open lines. That is the magic.
Doesn't that fly in the face of that clip you played from George saying that the show wasn't about what the audience was saying or necessarily about Art? It's about letting it flow and become something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We experienced that tonight in our chat room. Everyone was asking for Mr. Fidget to be dumped, and it turned out to be one of our best shows ever.
You really think that?
No, I'm just kidding.
You're right. You know, that's a great point, Jasmunda. I totally agree. The point I was trying to make is that here George is talking about how the audience is so negative, and that's a problem that makes it hard for him to deal with. You know, all these people out there that you shouldn't even associate with. And when in reality, that's, you know, a large percentage of his listening audience that he's alienating. And Art, on the other hand, is saying people would send him messages saying, dump this caller, you know, move on from this, it sucks. But he didn't stop for that them. He wasn't afraid to take the criticism, but he wasn't going to just jump at what they're saying and play through it. And at the end of the night, have a great episode. So he hears the criticism, acknowledges it for what it is, and isn't stressed out about it. And he didn't hate him. He gets that those people who wrote those messages in the beginning are probably the same people writing the positive message at the end.
So
it's all about how you deliver.
In other words, you're saying he doesn't shout, go fuck yourselves at the audience.
No, that's part of what
you're telling me.
Hey, the people in our chat room are here because they want to hear you say that. They're finally happy to be a part of this again.
I think I'm liked by 2% of the listening audience of this show.
And that's a lot. Large percentage more than me that like me.
That is true. Nobody likes you, Curtis.
Yeah, nobody. I've yet to find that person.
I've done the research.
Market research points to.
Art continues, no program can exist on no income, so we will depend on some aspects that we can charge for. That'll include the ability to download the show once it is aired, perhaps the ability to send a fast blast, and any other goodies we can throw in to perhaps ask for $5 a month from those willing to help. But make no mistake, the live stream will be free. I want no limits on the possible number of people who can tune in. And then George Goldman immediately comes in.
Well, I'm going to wait until he's been on the air for longer than 6 months to be sure that he's going to stick around before I pull in my $5. Because I want to be sure that I'm not going to get ripped off again after what I saw happen before.
And Art comes back. It sure is easy to spot the Dave bots. I don't care if people never send in a few bucks. It'll be free for all. So feel free to wait forever, if you wish.
I'm not going to send in my $5 to Art Bell. I'd rather send my money into Falky.
Can you believe someone would say that with a straight face? Or type that with fingers that aren't quivering due to extreme laughter? It was that George Goldman, a.k.a. C-337 pilot, a.k.a. SR-71. A.K.A. Fine Art, A.K.A. whatever. And you know, I can always tell when that guy comes back and creates a new account, because what you do is you imagine in your mind, if someone were in a horrible motorcycle accident where their head made violent contact with a tree, how would they probably type in a message board? And when I see that, I know right away, oh, it's him again. He's back. There's just something about his post. It's like if someone had severe damage to their cerebral cortex, how is it that they would go about communicating with people on a forum? And that's how you know when that guy has created a new account. No matter what proxy he uses, no matter what Tor node he exits from, I'll always know it's you, dude. Always. Everyone else will, too. You can't hide it. He's like, there are certain people, the way they type, I mean, it's just so identifying. And he probably fits that mold more thoroughly than anybody else that I've encountered. You just know right away who he is.
Brain damage. That really explains a lot.
So Art accused George Goldman of being a Dave bot, but it's most likely that he isn't a Dave bot. So are there Dave bots out there?
I'm not going to waste my money. I do enjoy listening to Art, but come on, he does have a track record of quitting and retiring on us.
Shut up, stupid. You know, you're stupid. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like Art's in there posting and talking. How fucking cool is that? Art Bell's in there talking to you. And your response to that is to go,
I don't know. It's just my $5.
And if $5 is that big a consideration to you, you have my pity. I mean, things are obviously not going very well if $5 is literally that much of a consideration for you in the course of a month's spending. And I'm not being sarcastic there. You really do have my pity. I mean, things are not going well. I think that goes without saying.
There's going to be a lot of pirating of his show. I mean, we know it's free when it's live, but people are going to, you know, share around the copies of the downloads. I'm going to donate anyway. But I imagine George Goldman's one of those guys that will just steal the show anyway.
You know what? We've got a caller, and he's been on hold, or she maybe, I don't know, has been on hold all this time, and I forgot. Hi, you're on the air. I'm sorry.
Hi, it's me. It's on screen. It's she.
That was like half an hour ago.
Well, I know. Well, it's
here. I ask people to call in, and this is what you do to them.
It says you've been on hold for only 6 minutes, but it feels like it was way longer than that since I answered your call.
Oh, what the hell?
I'm sorry. I suck as a host. Go ahead.
No, I was actually. You just cracked me up with your impression. I was really laughing. That was a good one.
I don't want to pay $6 a month. $5 a month. It's too much for me.
Is that Droopy? That's a character?
Yeah, Droopy Dog?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a stupid voice. Anyway, Unscreened, one of my favorite callers to this show ever. You and Treading Water, I would rank as some of my favorite callers. So thank you for calling and good night.
Good night to you too, sir. Okay.
Yeah. So what's going on? What were you calling for? You were calling to discuss something. I can't remember what it was.
Well, it was the Fantastic Forum thing.
Oh, yes.
But first I have to tell you something, because you just talked about this guy that's been on. I have to tell you this. As a moderator on a forum, I just banned the same person 85 times now, for the 85th time. since August.
Didn't you?
Five fucking times.
Didn't you, please the language, didn't you send me a personal message a while back asking for advice on how to handle this?
Yes, for this person, today was the 85th time.
I'm trying to remember what advice I gave you and if it was good advice or not. I don't know.
No, there's really nothing you can do about it. You can't ban anybody on IPs anymore, so I can't get rid of this person. So I just ban her twice a day.
Well, it's pretty easy to tell if someone's joining your forum using a proxy. Or coming through a Tor node.
She's not that smart, but when she gets that smart, I'll contact you. She's not that smart yet. She just switches the modem on and off.
You can't ban. Oh, you can't. She's changing her IP.
Well,
you can change your IP, but you can't change where it's coming from. Then she's not smart enough to use a proxy, which is why I've been able to ban her 85 times.
Curtis, wouldn't you love to hear Unscreen Caller and Evelyn doing a show together?
That would be good.
Don't they?
You make a great point.
They just seem like they would be two peas in a pod. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to Evelyn when I talk to you on Screen Caller. Well, I hope that you like Evelyn and that you don't see.
No, I like Evelyn a lot. Yeah.
I hope you're not offended by that. I mean, you just have that same sort of Northeastern sensibility that I came to appreciate in Evelyn.
Can you imagine the two of them doing a show?
I miss Evelyn.
I don't.
Can you imagine a show on forum moderation? let them just talk about that. I'd listen.
Yeah, that sounds like a real winner, Curtis.
Hey.
Well, yeah.
So, Unscreen, what's the deal with the Fantastic Forum? What happened over there with Nori?
He did the same thing that he tried to do over here. He played Divide and Conquer. He went over there and act like a nice guy. And then he kind of shut down all criticism because if you started to criticize him, then you were the bad person. And so he got the forum members to go against each other. Then he started with the shout-out stuff. There's all the same things that he did on Belgab, basically. And I think it was, I want to say it was Lone Voice. I think it was Lone Voice who also had been on Fantastic Forum. I never was registered, but she was registered on there. And she recognized it for what it was right from the start, what he was pulling here.
It really did seem formulaic almost, didn't it?
Yeah. It was going in, being a nice guy, and then gradually people on the sucks thread would start jumping all over the people that were saying he sucked because all of a sudden he was a nice guy. And that's what he did before. But I think Bill Gabb's too smart for that.
That's right.
So it didn't work.
He really did. He really tried hard. He tried to get the George Nori Sucks thread title changed. Or he tried to get the thread removed or at least get the title changed. And I threw him a curveball by publicly posting that message that he sent to me. He had no idea I was going to do that. And then he retracted that demand and said, I'll come on the Gabcast even without you doing that, which I never. Well, I never actively pursued having him back. I think that's why he didn't end up coming on. I don't know if he would have come on if I had actively pursued it. He probably would have. I'll bet you he would come on now. I mean, even if he were actively pursued to be on the show. And I'd be happy to have him on here. I'd love to pick his brain about what it is he thinks is so crazy about people who don't like him. I mean, I've seen some of the responses that his minions send to people whenever people send in a random critique of maybe what could be done better or something they don't necessarily care about that they hear going on during the show. I have seen totally innocuous, polite, I don't mean to be real. I just wanted to make a suggestion. And the response that comes back is, you're a loser. You're a hater and no one likes you anyway. Go find another show to listen to or what, you know, Just these responses that are so filled with anger. And,
we're looking at you, Lisa Lyon. We're looking at you.
And Tommy himself, he doesn't strike me as a very nice man either.
No. See, I'd love to talk to Lisa.
I don't know what I'm saying, though. I mean, I'm kind of being a little bit of a hypocrite, though, because sometimes I'm really fucking mean to people, too. Like, if they annoy me in some specific way or... So I don't know. Maybe it's all bullshit.
Yeah, but are you running a nationally syndicated radio program? No.
No, but if I were, would I be one of those people? I don't know.
Would you be a complete dick?
Scares me.
Have you ever portrayed yourself to be like an overly kind person, though?
Mm. I don't think so.
Mm. Then you're fine. You haven't wavered. You have the regular variation that a human being should have. When you're angry, you get angry. When you're not, you're not.
Curtis is like, have you ever been open about the fact that you're an asshole? Okay, well, then everything's good. You know, you're great. Everything's working the way it should.
Are you opposed to closeting with me?
Well, as long as the weather is fair, that's okay. What I say. I don't like to closet in high humidity areas. I chafe. So unscreened, you didn't comment at all on the lawsuit thing, though. Didn't Nori threaten to sue the forum?
He threatened to sue them, but I it's a long time ago, and I don't remember exactly what it was for, so I don't want to hand out false information.
Well, I would like you to just throw some inaccuracies out there and let us chew on it. I don't know.
Let us run with it.
There was a cease and desist, I thought, that was sent their way, but I don't remember what it was for.
Really?
I think so, from him. He threatened legal action against them, but I can't remember.
For what? For defamation of his impeccable character?
It was something that they... You know what? When Mom's voice comes on again, you got to ask her, because I think she would remember more. I can't...
Unscreen, didn't it have something to do with his new TV show at the time that was going to be on Sci-Fi? I thought that people on there were saying that the show was so shitty that he actually had to pay in order to get the show aired on Sci-Fi, and
that might have been it, because it was his usual really thin-skinned response to something, and I think that might have been it. The show, it wasn't, because I don't think it was the radio show. It was a TV show, the one that really never came about.
He's never cared as much about the radio show as he does that.
No, and that one really never went anywhere anyway.
I will say, though, to their credit, in all the years Belgab has been in operation, April of 2008, since then, from then to now, I have never received a legal letter of any kind. I've never received a cease and desist. I've never received a legal threat. I did receive one, but I suspect it wasn't really from George. I have no way to prove or disprove that it was actually from George. I wish I would have asked him.
I think that was probably corporate.
I wish I had asked him that time he was on the show. If he's ever on again, I'll ask him if that was real, and I can go dig up that email. Well,
it was from,
it came from George at coasttocoastam.com, but you can spoof anybody's email address, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, Unscreen. Well, it was a pleasure to hear from you, and I would ask now that you leave.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a very good night, everyone. Yeah,
it was a pleasure. It's good to hear from you. Call again next time, maybe, if you want, you know.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Night-night.
Bye. See, I said bye to somebody. I didn't just hang up and move on. How about that?
What podcast are we on?
So, if you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. 623-242-CAST. I actually need to be going. So, unless someone comes in here and brings something interesting to the table, I guess that's what's going to have to happen. So you guys, what do you think's a reasonable amount of money for art to charge? I think $5 a month.
I think five is fine, and that's half of what a basic serious subscription was. I think that's good.
Especially considering the overwhelming majority of people who did subscribe to Sirius at that time only did so to hear him.
I did. Yeah, that was me.
Yep.
And they were willing to pay $10 a month, even more in some cases if they weren't savvy buyers of the service.
Yeah.
So, I think $5 is fair.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly reasonable request for what you're going to get. I mean, it's a dollar a day. Well, no, it's less than that. A dollar a weekday for 1 week.
I think I'm probably just going to be listening to the show live anyway. I'd much rather hear the show live. And I'm just going to go ahead and pay anyway, though, just to support the show. Just to say, hey, here's, you know, there is money being made here. Real money.
Do you think, let's try to be the first four people to call him and just talk about the Gabcast.
I think we should just call in and start trying to talk about Falky. That should really make a lot of people happy.
But can we tell information about him that shouldn't be shared?
We need to call in and say, listen, Art, I just want to impart upon the audience a new mayo recipe I've come up with.
Oh.
And just start dropping all kinds of Falky references. I think that would be awesome.
The bad thing is that Art
show.
Would get it. I bet that's what makes me so uncomfortable is for everything that Art sees on the forum, that he goes there. You know, at some point he's accidentally clicked on that thread.
Oh, am I allowed to say Falky, by the way? I hadn't checked with the listening audience.
The chat room has requested that you don't.
Yeah. Art mentioned the Dave bots, and I thought it was so cool that Art understands the Dave reference, that he knows about it. Because you would really kind of have to have been paying attention to get that.
Yeah.
Yes, you would, because that was a long time ago, and the original post about that is quite buried by now.
Yeah.
It was from Lone Voice on July 29th, 2013, and she contacted the program director of some station, I guess, close to where she lives, and asked, "Hello, I'm sorry to see that the local Clear Channel affiliate has taken Hannity from you and given you the Dave Ramsey show and his time slot. As a listener, I'd prefer to support your local station rather than Clear Channel. My question to you," and this is before anybody knew what Art was going to do with Dark Matter. We didn't know he was coming to Sirius at the time. Everybody thought he was going to come to Cumulus.
Yeah, weren't people sort of speculating what's he going to do? And we'll call it, you know, some people were calling up, you know, their local affiliates and sort of asking if they knew anything.
Right.
Trying to dig up dirt.
That's all this was. It was just Lone Voice just being a piece of crap mining for information, you know.
And we need more of that.
I would say to people, don't do that. It's dishonest.
If you're going to do it, at least have a Portland source.
It's just a very dishonest thing to do. Anyway, Lone Voice says, my question to you, since your station carries some Cumulus content, such as Levin, will you be picking up the new Cumulus syndicated Art Bell show? If so, do you have any information as to what time slot it'll occupy? This is just a total information extraction operation. And the reply was, at this point, we look to keep Levin on, and I will check out the Art Bell return. He was gone for a while, and I think Dave Norrie replaced him. Norrie spelled N-O-O-R-I-E. And that's what precipitated the whole Dave thing when referring to George. So, and I know there are a lot of people who listen to this show and or use the forum and still don't know what that reference is from. So I'm happy to have dissected that for you here. Dave Norrie, I.E., the host of C-O-O-S-T to C-O-A-S-T-A-M. So, okay, I think the show's done. What do you guys think? I think we're out of here, right?
I think we've covered a lot of ground tonight.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for listening to the show tonight. Thank you to Mr. Fidget and Unscreen Caller, and even to the person who called in to complain about Mr. Fidget being on the show. Thank
and
you,
Andrew,
even to you.
Our first caller. Our first random caller, who's a new timer.
Even though we couldn't understand what he was saying because of his ultra-horrid phone connection, my God. I can't believe that in 2015 we still don't have that ironed out. The placing of a cell phone call and just that being able to work properly, I just can't believe that's not figured out yet. It's amazing.
You put the mic down your throat. You put the mic directly in the throat.
Well, I've heard that that does help with reception, yes. It makes sense. Anyway, okay, everybody, it's been fun. Visit us at ufoship.com if you'd like to download previous shows. That's where pretty much everything is. And when you're done over there, go hang out over at BellGab, the only place in the Art Bell universe that actually matters, other than artbell.com. You know, you got, of course, but other than that, nothing else matters.
Well, that's the center of the universe. We're just a part of a very important part of the universe.
Okay, guys. It's been fun. Have a good night. We'll see you next week, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. See you guys.
Pray for Goatsy.